Let's go ahead and get started this Wednesday evening. Want to say it's good to have all of you that's with us. We appreciate so much you being with us on this, our 10th, I guess it's our 10th missions conference, with Brother Blue, somewhere around there. And we appreciate you missionaries that have come by. Just let me get a few things out of the way that I never say, and if I don't say them now, I'll forget it. We do have a nursery. If you need to get a nursery, it's down the stairs. We only have one set of stairs on this side of the building. It's down the stairs, and then you take a big horseshoe all the way around, and it's on the right. So we do have that. The restrooms are on this side of the building. And then I probably need to say this. We need to stay on schedule pretty close. We are packed out with missionaries this week, and somebody get left out if we don't stick to the schedule pretty close. So if you could help me, and here's how I talk, I'll say, take about 20 minutes. That means 20 minutes. I mean, I won't say you take exactly 20 minutes. I'll say, How about you come give us 20 minutes or so? But that's what that means. So just kind of, yeah, it's just I've been misunderstood in the past. So help us. And the reason is we've got a full schedule, and you'll see that as we progress through the week. And then I want to say this to our church: get to know these guys. We want a yoke. We don't want an unequal yoke. Missionaries, you don't want an unequal yoke. We want to be yoked up equally. And we want to make sure we're on the same page. And when we reproduce, we want to reproduce like kind. And so that's where we're at. And then I want to lastly say this. Missionaries, anything you need, you see, and I'm, you understand what I say when I say that. Ask our people, grab one of them and say, hey, can you help me get this? We want you to make yourself at home. We want to have a good time these next two or three days. But I want to follow that by saying this to our church. There's nothing more serious than what we're doing right now. Nothing more serious. There's souls in the balances based on what we do in this meeting. Don't ever forget that, church. This is dead serious business to me. We may joke around and some folks may say a few things, but can I tell you, I'm dead serious about what goes on here. And I'm evaluating you, and I hope you evaluate us. And it's all for souls. It's all for the Great Commission. The Great Commission is that. It's still great, isn't it?
Yes.
And so we have to take it serious. Brother Allen, let's start with a song. Brother Andy, when we start getting toward the end, you get up here and do your thing here, and then we'll go from there. All right, Brother Allen, lead us in the song, if you would.
Stand with me, turn to 277.
Oh,
3 years ago, we had the privilege of sending a missionary out of our church, and I thought it'd be appropriate if we could maybe hear from him tonight. And so, Andy, if you can get him up there, we're going to try to talk to him for just a minute. All right, Brother Trent, can you hear us tonight? Uh-oh, we need some sound, Brother Lyon. Try it again, brother.
Yes, sir, we hear you good on this end.
All right. Well, tell us how you've been doing, my brother.
Doing wonderful. The Lord's been good to us, faithful, supplying our needs. No complaints on this end, Pastor.
Well, good. How about them boys? How they doing?
We're doing good.
Billy, how you doing?
It's going good, Pastor. We got here on June the 20th, and we started praying about a location. We found that location, and had our first service on October the 7th. Since we've got here, we've given out 11,656 gospel tracts in the community, having visitors almost every week, and folks calling and inquiring about the church. So the Lord's doing a great work out here. We're excited about what the Lord's doing. Yes, sir, we've had 13 professions of faith since October.
Is any of them still in the church?
Yes, sir, we got 9 of them faithful in the church and are growing. They continue to do the Bible studies here every week, and they're growing, going out with us, knocking on doors. So, yeah, it's taking hold, Pastor. They're doing good. Yes, Sunday morning we had 33 in attendance. Then Sunday night we had 36 in attendance.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, I know you've got a lot to do, and we do too, so we're going to get off of here. But before we do, do you have a word you want to give the church before you go?
Yeah, I just want to tell the church we love them, appreciate them, all they do for us, and I'd ask you to come out and see us and see the work and see what the Lord's doing out here.
Yeah. How about these poor old missionaries running up that road?
Well, I know a lot of them think right now that deputation is very hard, but really deputation is easy compared to what they're going to be faced with once they get to the field. When they get to the field, they're going to be overwhelmed with trying to find a building, trying to get direction with God about a location, and getting it started initially is very stressful. So I'd try to give them the same advice you give me, Pastor, just to position themselves in a place where if God chooses to, He can bless them.
Yeah, amen. Sister Nora, I kind of left you out. You doing okay?
I'm hearing good.
Yes, sir, I'd be honored.
Right.
Let's pray.
Go ahead and pray.
Our Father, in Jesus' name, God, as we come this evening, we want to thank you, God, for the privilege, God, we have to pray this evening. Thank you, Lord, we can approach the throne of grace. God, I thank you, Lord, for my church family, God, my precious pastor. God, I pray, God, as they endeavor in this week of missions conference, God, I pray that you'll help us see this week, God, even more so than we have in the past, the importance, God, of getting the gospel, God, in the regions beyond. Time swiftly running out, Lord, and we must get serious, God, about this business of missions. So I pray, God, you'd give every family direction this week about their faith promise. including our family, God, here. I pray, God, that you just speak to our hearts about what you would have us to give. And God, I pray you'd increase our faith, that we wouldn't question that amount. We'd just give it faithfully, knowing that you'll supply the need. God, I pray, God, as the week goes on, that my pastor, God, I pray you'd give him wisdom as he moderates the meeting. I pray for Brother Stennett, God, as he stands to break the bread of life. I pray, Lord, that God, that you'd give him power and unction. I pray, God, for every missionary family, Lord, that's there this week. God, I pray you'd help them. Give them an encouraging week, Father. God, I know they go so many places, God, where they're not appreciated. But I know they're appreciated where they're at tonight. And I pray you'd give them a good week, encourage them. God, I pray, God, just supply their need. God, bring their support in, God. Get them to the field, Lord, where you've called them to go, Lord. Thank you for my church family, God. Thank you for just putting us in that church. God, they've been such a blessing to help to my family. And I pray, God, you'd meet with them in a special way this week. Lord, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We love you, Brother Trent. You and the family. Don't hang in there now.
Yes, sir. Love you, Pastor. God bless you.
We'll talk to you later.
Ahead and get them down, Andy. We never will get started tonight. All right. Well, wasn't that a blessing, church? How many souls did he say was still in there? Nine. And had 13 professions of faith. Nine's in the church regular for the 3 or 4 months he's been there. Can I say, if a soul's worth more than the world, that's pretty good return on our investment, ain't it? Well, I just say glory to God.
Yes. Glory.
Is that a blessing?
Yes.
Brother Allen, come. Let's get another song. Just something kind of get us settled down. Then we're gonna get right to it tonight. We'll have a song. Then we might have a special. But then we're gonna get started pretty quick. Come on.
Page 130.
Thank you.
when the Lord passed by and changed me. My 43 years ago, I remember it just about as plain as if it was yesterday. Third seat from the back. Oldie Griffey and his friend sat right there. My dad sat over there. I sat right there. And the Holy Spirit wore me out that night. Give that invitation. I started out saying I'm not going when he started dealing with me. Early in the preaching, I said, well, I might go. By the end of the preaching, I said this, I'm going. And I went, and he did, and I am today. Saved, saved, saved. Boy, it's good. I just feel good in my soul tonight. I feel good. Well, let's have some special singing. Is Sister Sharon in the building? Come sing for us, Sister Sharon. Bring Janie, can you sing, you and Amy and Sharon, come and sing for us. Then we'll have a missionary. We'll have somebody get up and tell us a little bit about that work. Say one more thing for you. You know, I forgot to tell y'all the most important thing. We're here to worship the Lord tonight. We're here to glorify Him and uplift Him. I'm saying all this stuff about the nursery and the bathrooms and forget the most important thing, and that's to glorify our great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, come on, ladies, and sing.
Go charges me up. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
He stood up in heaven and he looked down through time and he saw that waited ahead. He knew that a stable is where he'd be born,
and in a manger he'd lay down his head. Still he came, hallelujah, Jesus came. Though he saw every trial he would face, he could have said, my Father, no, the price is great, I will not go. Yet because he loved us so, still he came.
He knew he'd be tempted, and he knew he'd be tried, and he knew earthly men would mock his name. He knew on Mount Calvary he'd be nailed to the cross,
but he knew his Father's will, and still he came. Still he came, hallelujah, Jesus came. Though he saw every trial he would face, he could have said,
Tim Lewis, if you would, you come and present your work to us. Did you have a DVD? If you want to play it, we can put it in there, or if you, it's up to you. You got 20 minutes. Do with what you want to. All right. If you want to play it, I'll get Andy up here to put it in.
Well, good evening. My name's Tim. My wife's Rebecca. She's back there in the back there with the Lewis family, and God's called us to Papua New Guinea to plant churches. We'll be working with a missionary named Brother David Crow, who you'll be seeing in the slide presentation. And most of our testimony is on that slide presentation, but we'll just give you a little idea about ourselves before we get set up there. And Brother Crow's been over there for over 20 years now. He's just started. The Lord's used him to start his 13th work over there, and he's an amazing man. He doesn't put a lot of emphasis into numbers and money. He puts it into prayer, and I really like that. He was a great man of prayer, and he was an encouragement and challenge to me. So we got to see how God can move and work still in these days. He's not the God of the dead, but of the living, amen. Hebrews says he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I appreciate verses like that, because God's still good all the time. So we're going to be over there working with him. We'll be over there initially working with him to learn the language. We'll get the language down, and then we'll move on to where God leads us. And we don't know exactly where that is right now, but we're just going to wait on him and get over there, get our feet wet in the work there, and see what he has for us. We've been on deputation for a little over 10 months now, about 10 and a half months, and we're at about 50% or just a little bit over it. So we're excited about what the Lord's doing, but we know it's the Lord doing it, not us. And we'll just wait and see for however long he wants us on deputation. We'll be on it. It's a training ground, I know that. And I know the brother who was on here on this Skype thing, he said it very clearly, and it is a training ground. I always thought that deputation was something I didn't want to go on it. I just don't like getting out of my comfort zone. But I thank God that I've gone on it. My pastor did tell me, you get out there and you get on it. This will be the best thing for you. And it has been. It's been a wonderful experience. I've learned so much about myself and how stupid I am. You know, all the mistakes you make and whatnot. But it's good to learn, and it's humbling, and it's taught us a lot. And I know this is just preparation ground for when we get over to the field. So, brother, whenever you're ready. No, that's fine. This is just basically a testimony of me and my wife, our testimony of how we got saved, of our call to Papua New Guinea. I was saved when I was 10 years old. God was convicting me of my sins. My pastor preached on hell, and I went home, and I was so convicted about it, and I stayed up that night. I was on the couch. I couldn't get to sleep. The Holy Spirit was convicting me, and I knew that I needed to get saved, but I didn't know. I was fighting it, and finally I was talking to my dad, and he said, son, you know what you need to do. You just need to do it. And so I went on that couch there, and I prayed and asked the Lord Jesus into my heart and life to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart and life and save me. And I was 10 years old. There wasn't this drastic change. I didn't feel this huge weight come off my back and feel like floating around, but I knew there was something different. I had a peace, and that's what made all. I'm not saying I was perfect from then on, but there was a definite peace and a definite change. And when I was 15, right when I was about 15, our assistant pastor called me up one afternoon. I live in Florida, so it's hot there. And it was in the middle of summer, and he called me up in the middle of the day and said, hey, Tim, why don't you come soul winning with me? I said, man, I lie, this guy's nuts. But I said, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. So we went out, and I'd never done this before in my life, so I was nervous. And I went out, and after I got done, the Lord really spoke to my heart and said, Tim, either you're going to do this stuff all the way or not at all. And I hated knocking on those doors. I was sweating and nervous and all that, but it was good for me. And the Lord was speaking to my heart, so I said, God, I'll do whatever you want. So I got more interested in that, and when I was 17, God called me to preach. And I knew He called me in the missions, didn't know where, but I was finishing up my Bible school. And when I was about 20 years old, we had a missionary who you'll hear about on the slide presentation named Ed Grant come to our church. And he presented the ministry. He was coming off the field of Papua New Guinea. He'd been on there for over 44 years, and he was getting Alzheimer's. And God spoke to my heart and said, who's going to replace him? And I said, God, if you want me to, I'll do it. And so He called me, and I went over there on a survey trip, and He confirmed that burden with the call there. And then, as you'll see on the presentation, I met my wife through some miraculous circumstances, and she was called to Papua New Guinea. And so here we are today. There are over 870 languages in this country, with over 6.5 million people. Papua New Guinea is a very industrious country when it comes to planting crops. They grow everything from yams to coffee, but their favorite plant, as you can see from the smiles on their faces, seems to be marijuana. Sadly, the average age in Papua New Guinea is only 21 years old. Of the 6.5 million inhabitants, 2 million are between the ages of birth and 14, 4 million are between the ages of 15 and 64, and that leaves only 200,000 that are over the age of 65. They face many problems and diseases like bacterial diseases, hepatitis, typhoid, dengue fever, malaria, tuberculosis, and many more. The people of Papua New Guinea are very volatile and warlike, which affects the vast majority of the people who have not died from diseases. James 4 explains the fighting very well. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? The grievous fact is that very few of them go to heaven when they die. There is a great spiritual battle taking place every hour of every day in Papua New Guinea. The people are very animistic, which means that they believe that everything is a spirit. Many refuse to go out at night because they think that they will be cursed by the evil spirits.
They live every day with the thought that today could be the day that they die. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." The only thing that will rid these people of their fear is Jesus Christ. We know that the people of Papua New Guinea have been spiritually blinded, as 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4 says. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They need someone to make an eternal impact in their lives. And we long to go in the power of God, not to preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. We desire to be your servants to the people of Papua New Guinea for Jesus' sake. Tim, and the Lord saved me when I was 10 years old and called me to preach when I was 17. He gave me a burden for missions, yet I had no idea where God wanted me to go. A few years ago, my home church in Milton, Florida had a missionary from Papua New Guinea by the name of Ed Grant for our annual missions conference. God immediately spoke to my heart about going there as a missionary. 8 months later, I took a survey trip to Papua New Guinea with another man in our church. As I was on the plane, God gave me His perfect peace that He had called me there.
Hello, my name is Rebecca, and the Lord saved me when I was 11 years old. When I was 12 years old, my home church in Sedgwick, Maine, had a missionary to Papua New Guinea come to our church by the name of Ed Grant. God burdened my heart for the people of Papua New Guinea from that point on. When I was 19 years old, a young missionary named Tim Lewis came to our church in Maine to present the burden and call God had placed on his life for the people of Papua New Guinea. As he showed the slides of the people in Papua New Guinea, God confirmed in my heart that He was calling me there as well.
I took quite the liking to Rebecca when I was presenting the ministry of Papua New Guinea to her home church in Maine. So much so that on April 28, 2012, exactly 1 year and 2 weeks after we had met, we were married. We are fully persuaded that this is God's will, and we are looking forward to what the Lord has for us in the future. We are being sent out of Trinity Baptist Church in Milton, Florida, under the leadership of Pastor Paul Woody, who has been a great mentor and help in building the vision of missions in each of the young people in our church. We have been commanded to go and tell a lost and dying world about Jesus and what He has done for us on the cross of Calvary. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Christ died for us that we might live for Him and tell others of His saving grace. We covet your prayers. There will be many struggles getting to the field and while we are there. Please earnestly consider 1 Thessalonians 5:25, which says, "Brethren, pray for us." We plead with you to earnestly and daily pray for this ministry that God has called us to.
That gave you a little better idea of what we'll be doing and where we'll be going. I hope you noticed how the Lord, I think it's wonderful how the Lord brought me and my wife together through the same missionary. We didn't even know each other. He'd been to her church 7 years before we even met, and then he came to our church, and while I was doing some short time deputation. I was had some things that hadn't worked out. I was going to go to the field for 2 years and work with this missionary. It didn't work out that way. My visa paperwork fell through. So while I was waiting, I was on deputation. I'd gotten a couple of churches, and just so happened, coincidentally, don't we believe in coincidences? I went to her father's church, and her father's a pastor, and we met there and found out that God had called her to Papua New Guinea as well. So we're excited about that. It's just another added encouragement for us that we know this is God's will for our life. Pastor, is there any other? Does anyone have any questions they might like to ask?
Now, you'll be church planting in Monrovia?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to work with this fellow till you learn the language and you're going out?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you're not sure where it's called?
No, sir. Initially, we know it's with him. And when we get the language down, and basically that's the thing that we believe God wants us to be doing, learn the language when we get there initially with him. And then whenever we get that language down, we'll branch out. Of course, we'll be working with them in the ministries there.
Any questions?
All right.
Then we'll let Brother Blue preach to us.
How about the King family singing? Y'all want to sing?
Let's open our Bible, please, Psalm 91. Psalm number 91. Find your place in the Word of God. We'll read in just a moment and then bring the message from the Word of God. I believe the Lord would have us to in the service tonight. And I said, it's a real joy to be back at Ridgeview. I appreciate this church. I look forward to coming, and I appreciate how the Lord's blessed and what He's done. I'm impressed tonight by all these signs around here, and I thought maybe they might be preaching louder than I am. Amen. Amen. Wonderful, 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 wonderful. And then I tell you, and please don't give me any glory on it, but I marvel at that board over there. I really do. $518,000. That's over $500,000 in 10 years, 9 years of missions. That's wonderful for a country church like this. I praise the Lord for it. Thank God for it. Appreciate the testimonies of both of these men, both Brother Lewis and Brother McBride. And good to see all these missionaries. Let's really pray God will do what He wants to do in the services night after night, as well as morning after morning. God will do something. I've been preaching a message. I don't think I preached it here last year, but I preached where the king of Nineveh said, there's no, he said, who can tell if God will? And I've been preaching on, there's no telling what God's up to, and there's no telling who God's going to use. Amen. Amen. So I say amen right there. There's just no telling. There's no telling what God's going to do. And there's no telling who God's going to do it to. Let Him do it. Let Him be God. The greatest thing in your life and the greatest thing in my life is when we, by the grace of God, learned us to surrender, yield. I thought about this, preacher, and I'll talk just a moment. I'll get ready to preach here in just a minute. But in Romans chapter number 6, the Bible talks about us yielding our members as instruments of righteousness unto God and not as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. That's Romans 6. That word yield, preacher, is the same word that's used in Romans 12:2, present your body, 12:1. So in Romans 6, he said, give me a member, members. Romans 12, he said, just throw the whole thing in. Just give it all. That's the way God does. If God demanded everything up front, we probably would never do it. But just a little bit at a time, and it grows in it. And there's just no telling what God's going to do. Well, let's stand together, if you would, please. Our Bible open. I'm preaching a message tonight I don't think I've ever preached in a mission meeting. But I really feel like the Lord wants me to do this evening. And I want you to pray. I feel like this message ought to be a real help to both church and missionaries and all of us tonight, myself included. In Psalm 91, verse number 1, the Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me read it again. The Bible said, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me say just a word before I pray. That first word, dwelleth, it's not the first word, but there's two words, dwell and abide, almost sound like the same thing. But the word dwelleth means to come in and sit down and stay a while. Then the word abide means to spend the night, or till the storm's over, till the day breaks. God said, if you come in and sit down a little while, when the storm comes, I'll be a shelter for you. And you can stay there in God's blessings until the storm passes by. Let's pray that I'll preach tonight. Heavenly Father, again, dear Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you tonight for the two presentations. Lord, by these missionaries, thank you, Father, for the very privilege to hear from Brother Trent and the people and his family down there. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you, Lord, for Ridgeview Baptist Church, for the pastor and his wife, their families, and the other families, dear Lord, that make up this church. Thank you, our Father, for the very presence of God that I've recognized since coming into this place tonight. Father, I pray now that you will help me tonight to say exactly and only what you want me to say. Bring to my remembrance the things you've given me, And help me, dear Lord, this evening to help this people through the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I confess that within me, that is within my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I know without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God, my efforts are vain. So, Father, I ask you tonight, help us, Lord. Use me and make me a blessing tonight. And for what you do for us, Father, I'll give you praise, honor, and glory. Because I pray it in Jesus' name. For our sake I do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do keep your Bible open, please, for the message this evening from the Word of God. Early in the year, at the turning from last year into this year, I was spending some time in my study and doing some things. And God put something, preacher, in my heart. A hunger for something, a longing for something. And I'm looking for it. I'm after it. By the grace of God, I'm on the trail, and I plan to find something in what I'm searching for. I read something. I've quoted all my life, but I finally got a hold of it, Brother Allen. God said in Jeremiah 33:3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee." And then here's what he said: "And show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, can I say this? And it's going to sound country, but I'm going to say it anyway. I am looking for some great and mighty things that I don't know yet. I'm looking for a taste of what I've never tasted, a touch of what I've never been touched with. I'm not talking about a second blessing, as some of the Nazarenes talk about. But I'm just talking about going on with God and experiencing some things with God that I've never experienced before. Then I got this verse, preacher, as I meditated, in Ephesians chapter number 3, I guess it is, verse number 19, or is it verse 21? The Bible said, "Unto him that is able..." Let me get the right verse. I want to back up and get the verse. The Bible said there, "Unto him that is able," that's right, "unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think." That is what God said. God said, "If you'll call unto me, I'll show you great and mighty things that you've never experienced, that thou knowest not." And he said, "I'm going to remind you that I am able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond." God is able to do that for us. God said, "I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above and beyond." Listen to this. What you ask, can I use this word? I want to be a big asker. I don't want to just ask God for little things. And then he said, "What you're able to ask," and then he said, "or think." I want to be a big thinker. God said there's more out there than you've experienced. And I'm not preaching just to you. I'm telling you what God said to me. You think in 52, I'm on over 52 years of preaching, living for God all these 61 years. You know, you think, well, that preacher ought to finally arrive. Some of you look at me kind of strange. It may burst your bubble, but you've not arrived yet. Paul said, "I'm not apprehended. I've not laid hands on that God's got for me yet." And if Paul could say it, how much more could we say it? But I want to deal tonight, I want to preach tonight for a little while on why the devil hates the secret place. Why the devil hates the place of prayer. I noticed, I looked at this, notice what the Bible said. "He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." As I was thinking about this, God put another verse with this. There is a New Testament counterpart. You know what it is? Matthew 6:6. God said, and thou, when thou prayest. He didn't say, if you pray. Come on. God recognizes Christians do pray. And God said, and now when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. God also expects every Christian to have a place of prayer. And God calls it here a secret place. And thou when thou prayest, enter thy closet and shut thy door. And then he said, and pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father which is in secret, seeth in secret, shall reward you openly. Now here's a country interpretation of that verse. But God said, you meet me in private and ask for it. I'll meet you in public and answer it. I'll get where I'm going in a minute. Just stay with me. Now I'm old enough to remember when all Sears had was a catalog store. Anybody remember Sears catalog store? Sure, you old timers do. They didn't have them big old elaborate, you know, like they have now. But they just had just a little catalog place. And you go in there and you get a catalog in the mail most of the time. But you look through that catalog, you find what you want. And you go in there and you say to that person who's the salesperson, I want to order this right here. She'd write down the number, your name, address, and tell you a time about when it would be back. You come back in there, and you walked up. She said, can I help you? And you'd say, my name is Stinnett Ballou. I come to pick up an order. She said, what's your phone number? I give her my phone number. She'd go back around over that preacher's thumbing through them invoices. And finally, if it was there, she found it. And she'd turn around and lay it down and tell me what I'd ordered. And then she'd go back in the warehouse, pick it up and bring it out to me. I would be too filled with pride. In those days, if it were that way today, I'd be that way today. To go to Sears and tell them I came to pick up my order. Then flip through the invoices and look up at me and say, preacher, when did you order it? You think I'd be able to say, well, ma'am, I didn't order it. But Sears knows we have needs. Are you following my story? How many of us come to church to pick up answers to things we've not even prayed about? Are you with me? If you got, and if I got what we had ordered in our prayer closet today, in the meeting tonight, what would we take home? The greatest weapon that we have as believers is to get in that secret place. And the tragedy is two things. Number one, the devil don't want us in there. And most of us are not willing to pay the price and guard our prayer life and go even if the devil doesn't like it. I think I've said this here before, but I want to say it again. You know, you can't stand in the rain and not get wet. Neither can you hang around God and not get God on you. Brother Sexton, if just say halfway through the crowd coming in tonight, it just started raining. Half of them got in here dry before the rain started, and then the other half came in. We wouldn't have one bit of trouble seeing who was in the rain. I'm telling you, you can't hang around God without God getting on you. Amen. There's something about God that rubs off on you when you hang around in that secret place. Again, I want to say it's not easy. It's not going to be easy. But thank God it's worth it. Amen. Amen. Yeah. The devil doesn't want us praying. I don't have to ask the question. I know it's true tonight. Every Christian in here that's tried to be anything for God is well aware of what I'm talking about. Boy, I've had good intentions to pray. I had good plans to pray. You missionaries need to get in on this too. I was going to pray. Isn't it amazing how easy something comes up when you plan to go pray? And if the devil can't stop you from going, he'll go in that secret place with you. Climb right up on your shoulders and whisper a bunch of lies, that's all he knows, and distract you till you'll leave before you connect with God in that secret place. Amen. One dear brother said, and I think it's worth me saying it, he said, I'm amazed at how I can figure things out when I'm in my secret place supposed to be praying. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, you can deal with a problem, an issue for days, Brother Allen. You go along, get along with God to pray. All of a sudden, that thing just starts falling together and your mind's over there while you're sin merged. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm saying to you tonight, you may not connect this to missions, and I'm not really trying to connect it to missions tonight, but I want to say this. The greatest blessing to the mission program of this church would be for the membership of this church to get hold of what I'm dealing with tonight. And the greatest blessing to the missionaries that are here tonight is that you get a hold of what I'm dealing with. Learn to guard your prayer life. Can I say that again? Learn to guard your prayer life. The devil don't want you in there. And if you get in there, he doesn't want you to stay and pray. But it's absolutely a necessity, needful, that we learn to frequent that secret place and let God do something in our lives. Brother McBride made the statement earlier. I got it right, didn't I, Brother McBride, Brother Josh? McBride. Brother Josh made that statement earlier. In this Christian life, there are some things that nobody can help you with but God. There are some times you cannot do anything but pray. And having said that, what else do we need? I want to do two things, and I'm going to deal with why the devil hates that secret place. I want to give you four or five thoughts, and then I want to come and show you what happens behind closed doors in the Word of God tonight. Why does the devil hate the secret place? Why do I have such a battle with my praying? Am I just preaching to the walls? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Why is it? Why is it? My wife can testify to this. I can be working at the house, and I usually, if I'm home, I'm working, and I can work, Brother Sexton, and never have any problem. And we can go in and sit down and have family devotions, and I go to yawning like crazy. I'm not sleepy working. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The devil hates the secret place. If the devil can stop us from praying and stop our prayer life, he has won victories that we will never get over in our Christian life. Why? Write down these things if you want to. I'll be brief with them. Number one, the devil hates the secret place because he knows in that secret place God will reveal to us an awareness of our sins. If you think you're doing pretty good spiritually, just hang around God a while. You know what I discovered among we Baptists? That's about all I know anything about. Preacher, we're so bad to judge ourselves among ourselves. Even in the local church, and I'm not being mean when I make it, in local church, there's some of them say, well, I'm as good as the deacons are. Well, I'm as good as the Sunday school teacher is. Someone say, I'm as good as a pastor is. Can I say this? And you know I don't mean it wrong. I mean it right. It's true. You could be as good as a pastor and not be good enough for God. You could be as good as a deacon and not be good enough for God. You could be as good as a choir members. I'm saying to you, we judge ourselves by ourselves, but that's not God's measuring pole. When we come into the holiness of God, His holiness has a way of revealing our unholiness. I sat in the room the other day, and the furniture looked nice, clean, until we pull the drapes, and the sunbeams come shining through that window. And you know what? There was dust like I had no idea in there. The reason I didn't see it the first time, the light wasn't shining on it. When we get, you know, Isaiah in chapter number 6, chapter number 5, Isaiah is a finger-pointing fireball fundamentalist. Everything that moves, he pronounces a woe on it. 6 times, woe unto them, woe unto them, woe unto them. But you know what? When he saw the Lord, he didn't look so good himself. When I was still pastoring up at Jacksboro, I lived on one side of the church. Brother Tommy Fowler lived on the other side of the church. And it just happened. I brought me a little old black Ford Escort. I mean, that thing is black on the inside, black on the outside, black on the top, black on the bottom. It's just black. It's black. I mean, it's just black. A few days later, Brother Tommy got him a new Ford truck, and it was white. Boy, you could look at his white truck. It made my black car look blacker. My black car made his white car look whiter. We're standing out in front of the church building one day just jesting, fellowshipping, whatever you want to call it. And one of the men said to Brother Tommy, said, what color's that truck? It's sitting about 100 feet over there, you know. Brother Tommy from South Georgia said, I don't know. Little boy spoke up and said, it's white. Brother Tommy said, I thought it was too, till it snowed. Boy, I woke up one morning, there's a curve in the road, and I could see out my front window over his parking place, Brother Sexton. I looked out that, and all I can say to you, in the presence of the snow, his white truck is no longer white. In the secret place. Listen, you know you can't really repent of sins until you have an awareness of it. Now, I believe we ought to pray every day for God to forgive us all of our sins, because there are things we do every day we're not aware of. Come on, you can say amen. But I'm simply saying to you, when God shows up in that secret place, then God gives to us an awareness of sin. Our sins become exceeding sinful. And I believe in this new year of serving God, we ought to pray, oh God, show me my sins. Let me see my iniquities. Let me see my wrongs so I can get them right and get like God wants me to be in this Christian journey. Number 2. In that secret place, the devil knows not only God will reveal to us an awareness of our sin, but in that secret place, God will give to us an attitude of supplication. Now, I want you to hear me just a moment. I know what I'm saying is true. Brother Sexton, the more we really pray, I'm talking about getting hooked up with God, the more we want to pray. You know what I'm talking about? You get hooked up with God, you don't want to wait no 6 weeks for it to happen again. The devil doesn't want us to get hooked up with God, because he does not want us to get an attitude of supplication. Boy, I hate to confess my sin, but let me say this tonight. As sometimes I approach my prayer time, I got to hurry and get through this. I got to get through this. I got to get this over. Got to get it behind me so I can go on about my business. But oh, I want to testify tonight. I like it when I get hooked up, Brother Bud, and don't want to unhook. I like it when other things me and said, don't leave yet. Stand in longer. Go stand, Father. Ask him again. One of the hardest things in life is to make yourself want to pray when your heart is not wanting to pray. Boy, you snuggle up close to God, and God begins to warm your cold heart. I don't want to point myself up. It's very personal. But I've been doing this a while, preacher. Just laying in my bed, sitting in the study. But I like to say, Lord, I just want to tell you again, I love you. Lord, I'd like to tell you again, I love you. Here's what I ask him. This is personal. Please don't mock me. I get to the place after a while. I ask him, Brother Sexton, Lord, do you mind if I tell you one more time? I love you. You know what? He's never told me, shut up, get out of here. But the devil knows in that secret place, God will reveal to us awareness of our sin. And he knows in that secret place, God will reveal to us and give us an attitude of supplication. Number three, write this down. The devil hates a secret place because he knows in that secret place, God will give us the anointing of the Spirit of God. I want to say it again. How much of our labors are done in the energy of the flesh? I was looking this the other day and I really got hung up on this. You know, we can sing songs all of our life and never get the message. Brother Allen, I got this the other morning in a special way. You know, we sing, Brethren, We've Met to Worship. And Brother Sexton, that chorus says, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. I caught my own self. I made a statement as I was praying tonight, just before I prayed, something about me preaching and the Holy Spirit rebuked me. I said it in my prayers. I prayed, I'm nothing without Him. I cannot preach without Him. I'm sending you my friend. I have got to have that unction of God. I've got to have that anointing of God. Let me just say, in every aspect of God's service, whether it's in the Sunday school class, singing in the choir, preaching in the pulpit, playing the instruments, singing a special, I'm sending you, oh God, we need that anointing. We need that unction. We need that touch of God. Spirit in our life that God gives to us only in the secret place. And I'm going to make this statement. I'm not being mean. I feel like I'm being mean, but I'm not being mean. If you've been in that secret place, you don't have to tell everybody. I could use two or three carnal illustrations. You go catch some fish and clean them. Let somebody walk up. They don't have to ask you about you being around fish. Most of us, this should have been better, I guess, but we walked in those gas stations, those stores, those places of business where smoke was about thick enough you could slice it with a knife. You come out and your suit smells ruined and you smell ruined. Nobody got to ask you if you've been around them. I'm telling you, in that secret place, God's power comes upon us in a very special way. And I want to deal with that later on. But I want to move to the fourth thing. The devil hates a secret place because in the secret place, he knows God will reveal to us an awareness of our sins. He knows God will give to us an attitude of supplication. And he knows God will give to us an anointing of the Spirit. Let me say it one more time. All is vain if it doesn't have the unction and the power of God's Spirit upon it. This is not a cross statement to anything you missionaries have said or will be said this week. Not at all. You're going over to labor with some men. Fine, wonderful. No problem. Are you understanding me? Same thing you said, Brother Tim. But the greatest partner you can have where you're going. And the greatest partner you can have where you and all you other missionaries is him that will never leave and never forsake him. Him that has all power. Him, my friend, that will touch you and touch others through you. Number four, I think I got it. Did I hit a little spring of water there? Attitude of supplication, awareness of sin, anointing of the Spirit. But in that secret place, are you ready? That's where God gives you an appointment for service. Now, Brother Sexton, I don't know the value of the statement I'm fixing to make. I don't know the weight of it. But I want to say to every person in this building tonight, if you want to know what God wants to do with your life, get your secret place. Take your Bible and go make it a two-way communication. Let God speak to you, and you speak to God. You that have been there know what I'm talking about. Don't you just like it, preacher, when God goes to speaking back? We might say, I just thought that. Well, I want to tell you, God give the thought. There's nothing like a heavenly, holy conversation between you and God. And then while you're talking, God will put something in your heart and say, go do this. Matter of fact, I encourage people in a matter of missions or preaching either one. Don't ever make a major decision for life until you have been with God in the secret place over it. A preacher, you're a pastor, you can say anything you want to when you get up. But I've watched it through the years. You better watch these fellows that surrender to something in a high service without any time of praying about it. Don't be rebellious. But if God's in it, He'll wait for you to meet Him in the secret place and confirm His will for service in your life. Watch this, number five. The devil hits the secret place because he knows in that secret place God will give to us an awareness of sin, an attitude of supplication, and the anointing of the Spirit, and an appointment for service. But number five, he knows in that secret place God will give to us an appreciation of the Savior. I'm just staying simple. I could say some bigger thing. I'm staying simple. Brother Sexton, I have met people when I met them. I didn't much like them. I didn't understand them. I just thought they're, you know, around higher, a different brand. But I've learned some of those, if you'll hang around them a little while, you'll get to see them what they're seeing. You'll get to think of what they're thinking. You'll get to loving what they're loving. And the next thing you know, you become best of friends of that person you thought you couldn't be a friend with. The reason so many church people have such a miserable problem trying to be prayer warriors, the devil keeps us from hanging around God till we get to know Him. Can I say it? When you get to know God in that secret place, He is everything He said He was and more. I looked this morning, maybe last night, this morning I think it was. Anyway, that little Shulamite woman, am I saying that right, in the Song of Solomon? She spent some time with that bridegroom. And she hung around him till that's all he could talk about. But them other daughters of Jerusalem, they hadn't spent that time. They hadn't seen what she said. They hadn't heard what she heard. I don't remember. I just went through the book, but down there somewhere, they said to her, "What is thy beloved among others? Above others." I want to tell you, most of us do not have the appreciation of the Savior because we have not spent time to exchange love with Him, and we don't know Him in our secret lifestyle and in our secret relationship. But you get in that secret place and God will show you affection. God said your kisses are sweeter than wine. I'm saying you, God will give you an appreciation for the Savior if you stay in that secret place. The devil knows those five things, and he don't want you to do it. I want you to come in your Bible, please, to John chapter number 20. I want to use this text briefly and close tonight. I'm just preaching what the Holy Ghost laid on my heart. Now, I don't know exactly why, but I want to be obedient. You know, I could have took those five things and preached an hour on either one of them, as far as that's concerned. What happened? I remember Brother Edgar Thomas. Some of you remember Brother Edgar. Years ago, preached from this text in John chapter 20. And Brother Sexton preached on some things that God only reveals behind closed doors. And it's a needed message in them days, but it's much more needed tonight. Listen, I wish I could do better. I'm afraid we Christians have developed, are you ready for me to say this? What I like to call a McDonald's mentality in our prayer life, a drive-through. We pull around to that little cubicle. May I help you, sir? Oh, I want a quarter pounder, meal, Sprite. Yes, so much. You drive around, expect it to be ready to hand out the window to you. I'm afraid we've developed that mentality in our prayer life. Lord, I'm in a hurry. If you're going to do anything, you got to do it quick. You got to do it now. I don't have time to wait, God. You got to do it now. But there's some things we got to get in that closet and shut that door and stay a while for God to do. Look at this 9-2. In John 20, verse number 19, the Bible said, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled together for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst." Now look at me just a moment. If you get in that secret place and stay, first of all, He'll reveal His presence. He'll show up. We who have prayed much, Brother Rick, you know what it is? I mean, I have prayed when He didn't come. You understand what I'm saying? But I have prayed when right in the middle of prayer, Brother John, God shows up. God help us not to be so brave in our place of prayer that we leave before He comes. I hope this statement I'm about to make is not taken wrong. I know the Lord Jesus said, "Where two or three gather together in my name, I'll be in the midst." And there was 11 there. There were 10 here. Judas is gone, and Doubting Thomas was not there. Now, I'm not changing the Bible. But I want to tell you something. If one gets in that secret place with their mind and heart set on Him, He'll show up. He'll come walking in. He'll come walking in. His presence. And oh, how we need His presence. But God's not going to manifest His presence until we get with Him and show Him we're ready to isolate ourselves from the world and separate ourselves from the others and just give ourselves to Him. He'll show up His presence. Look again at the latter part of verse number 19. He came and stood in the midst. And Jesus said unto them, "Peace be unto you." He revealed His presence in the secret. He revealed His peace in the secret place. I want to tell you something. If we get a hold of Him often in that secret place, preacher, oh God help us. He'll fix us where nothing else gets a hold of us so bad. You understand what I'm saying? The reason so many things bother me, I don't have that peace. I've been in a hurry. I haven't hang around God long. If you want a blessing, study the Bible. How many times Jesus showed up and the first thing He said was, "Peace, be still." Hey, can I say it? He can calm the troubled waters in your life, whatever it is. If we get in that secret place and stay there. Notice the third thing in verse number 21. Verse number 20. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Not only He reveals His peace and reveals His presence. Take me a minute to deal with this. But it reveals precious truths. See, preacher, they had seen Him crucified. They knew He was crucified at least. They knew He'd been buried. And they thought He was gone. But oh, up there in that upper room, a crowd of, can I say it, scared to death disciples. And Jesus said, "Hey, fellas, look at this. Look at this. I'm the one that walked with you. I'm the one that's on the cross. I'm the one that was crucified. I'm the one that was buried. But I'm not still on the cross. I'm not still in the tomb. I'm alive. Hey, it's me." And preacher, I can't explain this. I wish somebody would give me an answer on this. He turns right around and speaks peace to him again. His presence come in and they were afraid, afraid as a ghost. He calmed them with His peace. He showed them His hands and feet. And now then they're scared again. And again He said, "Peace." There's nothing like the God of heaven paying us a visit in that secret place of prayer and saying, "Peace, be still." I remember years ago they told the story, I don't remember if I witnessed it or not, they told the story of a little granny woman in a Wednesday night prayer meeting. They were going through their different testimonies and prayer requests. And she stood up and made the statement. She said, "I'm worried because I'm not worried." Peace! God reveals His peace. God reveals His person. And then God says, "Peace again." And in verse number 21, watch this. He reveals His plan. Look at verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you." Watch this. "As the Father sent me, even so send I you." He said, "My Father, God, had a plan for me." You know what it was? John 3:17, God sent not His Son into the world, condemned the world, but that the world through Him might he said. That's the reason every one of you missionaries are sent. That's the reason all we as Christians are sent. One of our brothers mentioned how the Lord gave the Great Commission. I sent every one of us. Jesus, God the Father sent the Son. Jesus sent the 12. Jesus sent the 70. A father over in Matthew 21 had two sons. He sent both of them to work in his field. I'm saying to you, God is still in the sending business. Hang around God. I grew up on the farm. Now, my daddy made me learn to work. But he never made me learn to like it. My daddy said to me, he had the attitude, you're a worker else. I was introduced to else early in my life, and I did not like else. I'm like, nobody use that sentence to me now. Daddy said, do it or else. I didn't like else. I knew what else meant. I shrug my back now just thinking about else. But we developed this little saying, Brother Bud, there's three of us boys. Most of the time, preacher, what Daddy told us to do was a day's work. I mean, we didn't get much break time in it, you know. But we developed this little saying. Brother Ricker, if we got done, if we got caught up, our theme song was, stay away from Daddy. Don't get around Daddy. That is one of them kind of daddies that seemed like he had just a whole notebook of stuff in his mind for us to do if we got caught up. So if we found out daddy's down at the barn, we stayed at the house. Found out daddy's at the house, we went to the barn. If daddy's down in the bottoms, we went on up the upland. We didn't want nothing else to do. I want to tell you something. You better hear this preacher. You can't hang around God and God let you sit on the stool to do nothing. God will give you something to do. Amen. He's not going to call everybody to preach. He's not going to call everybody to be a missionary. But he won't let you sit there and do nothing. Amen. But watch this. He revealed his person. He revealed his priest. He revealed his pierced places. He revealed his peace again. He revealed his plan. And here's what I like in verse 22. He said, and when he had said this, he breathed on them. He breathed on them and said unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. He not only revealed his person, his presence. He revealed his pierced places. He revealed his peace. He revealed his plan. But it revealed his power. Brother Sexton, I am so convinced. I've been convinced of this for years. I am just so much more convinced this year. Now, I'm preaching on prayer on the radio. If you've been listening, you know that. And this will be somewhere down the line before I get through with it. But listen. There's a fear of serving God until God puts his power on your life. Amen. And God can breathe on you and make you bold as a lion. If I had to depend upon Stinnett Ballou, I would be of all men most miserable. I'm tempted to come over and breathe on you, preacher, but my breath wouldn't do nothing. My smell bad, wasn't happy. But you imagine God just walking up and God breathed three times in the Bible. Formed a body over there in Genesis chapter number 3, number 1. It was a body, but it was dead. God, I believe, picked it up in his arms. Done mouth-to-nose resuscitation. He breathed into his nostrils. The breath of life. And Adam got up! Became alive. Over in the book of Ezekiel, chapter number 37, that Valley of Dry Bones. He said, prophesy, and the bone come to the bone, the bone to the bone. And there was bodies, but they was with no power by the blood. And God said, prophesy to the wind. And he said, I breathed on them. And they stood up. A living army. God sees these hopeless and helpless disciples in that upper room, faced with a task that was much bigger than they was. But God breathed on them. He breathed on Adam. He stood up with a power. He breathed on that army. They stood up with power. He breathed on his disciples. And they went out to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every creature. Oh, breath of God. Breathe on us. Breathe your power into our lives. The devil don't want you to go to that secret place. But God does. God said, if you'll meet me in that secret place and abide and dwell there, then you'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said, if you meet me in the closet and ask, I'll meet you in the public and answer. I fear so much of my life behind me. I fear coming to the judgment seat of Christ, preacher, and see what I've missed because I didn't spend more time in the secret place alone with God. Can I say this? I hope you'll never forget this statement I'm fixing to make. He is over at your house this morning. What happened? He's over this morning. He's over this afternoon. He's not on a journey. It's a God that's close by. Don't let the devil rob you and rob us of the things that God wants to do and will do in the secret place. Brother Sexton, I don't know if that's got anything to do much with missions, but I think it has got something to do with missions for two reasons. Can I do this? I don't guess I've ever done this. I'd like to dedicate this message to every missionary in this building. And preacher, with your consent, I'd like to dedicate it to every member of this church. But Bill, I need to dedicate it to me. God said, call me and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We pray to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all. I'm sick of nominal, normal prayer. I believe there's something better, Pastor. And I want to pursue it. Let's stand together. God bless you for listening. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll have a song, preacher, brother. When everything else fails, meet God in the secret place. We sang that old song, kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Father, what I preach to this congregation tonight is the old preacher used to say, when I pointed one finger at them, three fingers pointed back at me. I ask you, continue the work in my own heart in the area of prayer that you begun at the beginning of this year, maybe even in the last days of last year. Lord, forgive me of my half-hearted, lackadaisical method of praying. Oh God, help me to come in, to sit down, to stay a while, let you talk to me out of your book and me talk to you out of my heart. Have two-way communication. And oh God, help us to do it until it transforms our life to the glory of God. Bless all these precious missionaries, Lord. Thank you for each of them. Bless this precious pastor. Every member of this church, Lord, I sure do appreciate you connecting my heart and Brother Sexton's heart together years ago. And you connected this family, this church family, my family. Lord, I feel right at home among these people. I'm with my friends. But oh God, when it comes to preaching time, friendship don't count. I pray tonight, dear Lord, work a work, oh God. I know everybody won't go all the way with you, but put it in somebody's heart. Put it in somebody's heart. Put it in somebody's heart. Lord, you heard the phone conversation I got the other night from near Cincinnati. That man of God said, preacher, through that message you changed my life for the rest of my life. Oh God, do it again. Do it again. May each of us purpose in our heart and commit in our heart that we're going to strive to see some of them great and mighty things that we don't know anything about. To see you do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Holy Ghost, settle this message in our soul. Keep it in our memory and bring it up. And just let it kind of cook in our hearts until it begins to work in our lives. Give our pastor wisdom for the remainder of the hour. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Preacher, whatever you want, brother.
We've heard from heaven tonight. Amen. That's about all we can ask for. Brother Allen, I'd like for us to sing that, a verse of that song, and I'd like for this whole congregation just to sing to the Lord, I need thee. I need thee. We need him, folks. I don't know. The older I get, the greater I realize if he don't help us, we ain't going to get no help. We need him. And you need him. You may not know it. But you need him. You need him desperately in your life. And if you're saved, if you're lost, you certainly need him. I'm talking to believers tonight. We need the Lord. You can't even pray if he don't help you pray. You can't do anything if he don't help you. Let's sing. Help Brother Allen sing this tonight if you know it. If not, help him on the chorus.
Thank you.
Well, I say amen to the good message tonight. And I thank Brother Blue. I can tell he's been in his prayer closet. He couldn't preach to us like that had he not. And I just want to say this to everybody in this, all you visitors, we're nobodies here. We're nobodies. The reason I didn't say anything about that right there, that $518,000, I'd really like to strut about it. But you know who really did that right there? It was God.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Just God. I wish we could take credit for it, but I just have to bow my little head and say, thank you, Lord, for letting me have a little part in that.
Yep.
We need the Lord. We need Him in this meeting this week. I don't want to leave like I come in, do you? As a come as you are and leave or come as you are and leave as you are, I guess is the philosophy of a lot of churches today, but I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in playing. I'm not interested in going through the motions. I'm not interested in that junk. I'm telling you, we need to get serious about serving God. Well, you stirred my heart. The Holy Spirit stirred my heart through that preaching tonight. I thank God for it. Well, I tell you, you're looking at a preacher who sure needs the Lord. I surely need His help. Well, praise His high and holy, wonderful and precious name tonight. Glory to His high and holy and precious and wonderful name tonight. Glory to His name. Well, praise His name. Well, that's just how we do around here when we get ready. I hope it don't scare you too bad, but it's just how it is. And I like it, and we're going to keep doing it if I can find it, have anything to do with it. Well, it's good to be saved. Good to have you missionaries. I'm just ready for the next verse of that message. That was so good. The next page, whatever it is. My, I'm stirring my soul tonight. Well, let me get settled down here and tell you what we're getting ready to do. It seems so carnal after something. I feel like we're on holy ground tonight. But we're going to go downstairs and we're going to fellowship.